Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 4 of Crave Arts Presents The Future of Film, featuring intimate interviews with the best emerging filmmakers from around the world. My name is Tom Oliva, and I am co-founder and executive director of Crave Arts and the All-American High School Film Festival, dedicated to discovering, showcasing, and uniting the next generation of visual storytellers and content creators. In October of 2022, we celebrated our 10th annual festival. 10 years in, and our community is thriving, a testament to the power of believing in the arts and the emerging artists that share their stories with us. The collective spirit of our organization, our community, and all of our year-round initiatives is rooted in a shared passion. A passion to breathe life into stories, to collaborate with others who share your vision, and to create content at the highest level. Content with the ability to move viewers emotionally, to inspire with unprecedented style and craft, and to impact real change. Some quick updates from the All-American Bulletin Board as we gear up for our 11th annual festival in New York City. The 2023 festival will take place this October in New York, and submissions are open via Film Freeway with the final deadline on July 3rd. Head over to hsfilmfest.com to get the latest news and updates about the 2023 festival, including our 2022 highlight reel, downloadable 2023 budget guide and planning guides, as well as posters, because it's never too early to begin planning your All-American adventure. A friendly reminder that we are offering a new custom category this year, your chance to make an original music video for one of four songs by AWOL Records artist MXMToon. More information at hsfilmfest.com/custom-categories. And if you plan on attending the festival in New York City, we highly recommend competing in our film invitational competitions, the world's premier on-site student filmmaking competitions in New York City. We offer a variety of authentic, real-world production experiences for student filmmakers and video production programs. Your chance to crew up and produce a short film in just 10 weeks. Registration opens in May. I am absolutely thrilled to be joined today by two alumni from 2020 and 2021, Brendan Egan and Haley Pine, a dynamic duo from Massachusetts and Rhode Island, with an enviable list of credits and industry experiences. I'm eager to learn how these two talented creators came together, how they obtained such commendable opportunities, and perhaps most importantly, what continues to drive their passion for all things film. But first, a bit about how we came to know the amiable talent of Brendan and Haley. As we all know, 2020 was a year full of unprecedented circumstances and particularly unique challenges. For many, it was a year of fear, isolation, and lethargy, an overwhelming pause of all things considered normal and productive. Not so for Brendan and Haley. Rather than bury themselves under the covers of lockdowns and the relentless drone of online learning, these two decided to make something of the whole situation, embracing the strange reality and harnessing its potential for provocative and compelling storytelling. Their 2020 submission, Zoom Dating, has become something of a cult classic here at All American, an absurdly astute satire of the teen 2020 experience as told through the lens of two teens navigating a remote romantic relationship. It's a bizarro story that aptly epitomizes a bizarro reality. And as absurd as the whole premise is, it actually strikes deep at the root of a collective experience we all share. This sense of a deeper universal experience, one that we all formed even as we fought against it, forms the core of their story concept. Oh, and it just happens to be hilarious. Watching Zoom Dating now feels like a trip down a more lighthearted pandemic memory lane, a chance to take stock of all the preposterous new normals of everyday life, remembering their necessary inception, reflecting on their awkward acceptance, and analyzing their lingering presence. As the film aptly states, tough times indeed. And in retrospect, tough times deserving of insightful comedic inspection. When heartbreak strikes during lockdown, fear not. You can hop on Zoom and Zoom your way through suitable candidates en route to a new fulfilling romantic relationship. We get the sense that we shouldn't take any of this too seriously, but those willing to look will find that there is more to this story than humor. Beyond the careful structure, creative direction, and smart editing, the film offers a broader view of a troubled generation facing equally troubled times. And satire provides a platform for introspection. What happens when young people already navigating the pitfalls of coming of age are dealt an even more difficult hand? What demons will they encounter, and will those demons persist? Can there be hope in such a dark time? Yes, Zoom dating is silly, but it's also an important time capsule containing something much bigger than a failed relationship. Looking inside, we can find cracks cloaked in jokes, cracks illuminating the fragile foundation of our teens and the challenging path they all must navigate. It's great to be joined by these two screenwriters, directors, actors, and even film festival founders today. I'm honored to be joined by Haley Pine and Brendan Egan. Hi there, Brendan. Hi there, Haley. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm really well. And I have to say, I was saying this before we started recording, how surreal it is. Every time I hear your voice and see you on the screen, Haley, I cannot help but think of the film. It's pretty special to actually be doing this for other purposes today. Before we get into this any further, I want to do something we call our personal portrait. In this quick reply exercise, I'll say a word or ask a question, and you just say the first thing that comes to mind. I'll start with you, Haley, okay?
Sure.
Awesome. And I didn't get to say, how are you to Brendan? Brendan, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How about you?
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Okay, here we go. Haley, last thing you ate or drank?
A smoothie.
What kind?
A strawberry and banana smoothie with peanut butter and blueberries also.
Oh, it sounds amazing. Brendan?
Yeah, it's really.
A Sprite Zero was the last thing I drank. I couldn't even tell you the last thing I ate. It's been like I had like some Mediterranean, it's like an eggplant hummus. I don't know the name of it, but it was delicious.
Great. Well, I know you're really into physical fitness. It's pretty obvious looking at your profile online. So no doubt that you're eating something very healthy. what comes to mind, Brendan, when I say collaboration?
Working together and executing a vision concurrently.
Haley, anything to add?
I think of people working together, but for some reason, my mind goes to like a bunch of people at a table with computers for hours, like just sitting there, like planning things out. That's what my mind goes to first.
Well, that is our modern times. Haley, what about film school?
First thing that comes to mind, people in a studio, like 9 to 5, watching each other work. Not necessarily working themselves, but watching others and observing.
Interesting. What about you, Brendan?
Learning different aspects of the film industry.
How about networking? Brendan?
It's like an essential asset that you really need to learn in order to thrive in the industry.
Ellie?
I think a bunch of people, I don't know, you can network anywhere, really. I think like people huddled with like some water and like pineapple juice, like just talking, like just trying to get to know people, like anywhere, really. Even be in a waiting room.
Pineapple juice holds a very special place in the all-American heart because Chris Omar, who's producing the show behind the scenes right now, had to have his wisdom teeth out. And I don't know if you know this, but drinking pineapple juice in earnest prior to the surgery helps alleviate symptoms. And it really worked for him.
Oh, I did not. I wish I knew that.
Well, wisdom now you do. If you ever grow another set or if you already had yours out,
yeah.
you know, I hope that doesn't happen. Brendan, how would you describe your style as a storyteller in just a few words?
I try to be as straightforward as possible and unique and personal to the story.
Sounds like you. Haley?
I just do whatever I feel like. And then I always go to Brendan. I'm like, what do you think of this? And he's like, Haley, not that good. I don't know. I just like to do what I like to do. I like to be honest to myself. If I'm not having fun writing or like doing it, then something's wrong.
That feels like a very apt description from you, by you, about you. You have a great energy to you, which is evident in the film that we were talking about in the intro. So that makes perfect sense. Haley, you seem like you have a lot of talents, but which talent would you most like to have?
I would love to be like a really great actor. Are we still talking about or random talents?
Anything. I think you already are a really great actor, but okay.
If we're going outside the industry, maybe like really good at blackjack. I think that would be cool.
Wow. Interesting. Brendan?
Outside of the industry, it's funny that you say that. I just had to film a singing audition and I really, really, really want to like, I want to be a good singer. So like that would be definitely a talent that I want to improve upon. But inside the industry, I want to focus on like producing and definitely acting too.
Cool. Haley, favorite place in the world?
New York came to mind immediately, but I have to say Aruba.
No worries. So Brendan, what's your favorite place in the world?
Ooh, I gotta say, I went to Austria a few years back, and that was amazing. It was I saw where like the Sound of Music was shot, and that was just like an unforgettable experience.
Amazing. And finally, whoever wants to go first, what comes to mind when I say All-American High School Film Festival?
Oh, God, so many things. I think just like my first vision is like the, oh, my God, I'm in 2019, I met Brendan and a bunch of other people at All-American. I just remember standing in the line with these people who I just met a few days ago. And I don't know, the vibes were just there. It was just fun. I don't know. It was like cool. I was like, all right, I want to be friends with these people for a long time. That's like the vision I get immediately.
Awesome.
Yeah, same. It's such a fantastic experience for young filmmakers to just like go and meet other people who have the same interests. And like, I'm extremely with the festival.
Well, that means a lot. I'm grateful that you guys decided to share your work with us and that from what I'm starting to realize here, maybe we helped you be inspired and come together and create work. So I appreciate that. That wasn't awkward at all. You guys really championed the conversation there. So thank you for the honest answers and a little bit of insight into who you are and what you're about. So it's great to reconnect. Where are you currently and what are you up to as it relates to film?
I can go first. I'm in New York. I'm studying at NYU. Classes start next week. Stressful, but it's time. I think breaks are a little too long. I've been auditioning. Well, we act every day for our classes. It's like a conservatory style kind of with like gen eds. So acting, I've been reading a lot. Brendan and I have a film festival we've been working on. Yeah. Oh, I've been writing a lot too, which is just like fun for me. So I think this semester is going to be a lot of like making it into actual projects.
What kind of writing are you working on? Are you working on like scripts or just more prose?
Oh yeah. So I wrote a comedy with a friend and then I wrote a feature the other day really quick because I needed to submit it to this teacher. So I was like, okay. And then I wrote 80 pages in like 2 days and I was quite proud of myself. And then I've written a little bit of poetry too, which is like, I'm not a poetry person. I don't know. It's just like whatever I feel, I've just been writing, but mostly scripts. I've been really cranking out the scripts. I don't know where they're going to go and how good they are, but yeah.
Well, I'm curious. Do you find that like writing scripts on your own helps inform you as an actress?
Oh, most definitely.
Does that help elevate your craft as an actress?
Most definitely. Yes.
And how so? Yes. How does one sort of help elevate the other?
Oh, God. Well, I can get into it like philosophically and everything. Well, we're always like, for me personally, like getting into certain characters or imagining like certain things are actually happening to me. I obviously have to use my imagination, right before, like take one, take two. So I think when I write, it's like activating the imaginative part of me. And I'm like, okay, this is a character I would really like to play. I think it just informs like certain characters, like especially just creating characters too, is like very informative for me. I think it all just intertwines. But there's just like something in my brain that just clicks in doing anything creative. And I think
it's all related. Yeah. Brendan, correct. Where are you and what are you up to?
I'm currently in Boston at the moment, but I'll be going back to New York where I go to school. I go to Hofstra at the moment. So I'll be going back there in like around like 2 weeks. And right now I have like 4 auditions I have to complete. One of them, which is singing. And then I have a meeting with an agent at like 4. So it's chaotic, but you gotta love it.
You do. And speaking of things I love, I love Hofstra. They've been a great partner of the festival. And I had the opportunity to visit there last summer. I went down, they invited me down to check out their facilities. And I was totally impressed. I had no idea what to expect. And it's an amazing facility that they have down there. I think, you know, people know NYU and a certain, you know, expectation that comes with that. But I really didn't know Hofstra. And yeah, I was blown away. One of the things that I was really impressed by was their faculty. Everyone was like really down to earth and nice and engaging. And you don't always find that with university faculty. So I don't know if your experience has been similar.
Yeah, I'm in the business school, actually, but I have like most of my friends are in like the comm school. So I spend a lot of time there and I know pretty much all of the faculty and they're great. They're really great. I'm producing a few Hofstra student films at the moment. So it's really nice to have that network.
Oh, that sounds like, you know, if the one thing in the industry that you want to get more experience with is producing, sounds sure. like you're already on your way towards that. And I want to talk about all of this, especially the college experience. It's interesting that you're studying business. Actually, you know, kind of hear that quite a lot. It's definitely an angle a lot of performers or you know, creators pursue. But I want to go back to some questions I posed during my introduction. How these two people from different states ended up collaborating on projects like Zoom dating. Did you indeed actually meet at the festival in 2019? You didn't know each other at all before that?
Correct. No. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about how, a random meeting at a international film festival with thousands of people, how that happened? And then how that led to an actual collaboration and a remote, I would assume, remote project during the pandemic.
Yeah. Do you want me to start, Brendan? I remember it really well. Okay, so...
Let me just pause and say for anyone listening, if I didn't know that you were from two different places, I would have thought you were like best friends for a long time. It just feels that organic, the whole film. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but just I really thought you knew each other from way back when.
Oh, yeah. We get that a lot. I don't know. So think about it. So we were in a screening of my film. It was Harper's First Kiss. And I recognized someone from the acting community and then Brendan was with him too. And then they were coming in. And so I said hi to the person I knew, like sort of. I was like, oh, hey, like, I know you, right? He's like, yeah, I think I know you, like from Facebook or something. But Brendan just so happened to have been with him. So then they sit down. And then after the screening of the film, I remember both of them like leaning over the rail to say hi and be like, that was really good, like over the rail. And then I guess, I don't know, to be like, Brendan, you're going to have to take it from here. I guess like we went out to dinner. I don't know what we did.
But so I think.
Or how we connected.
Yeah. And I remember that. And then I remember the red carpet event. That's when I met a ton of people.
Yes.
I got to really converse with Haley. And then two other people, Charlie Norton,
Charlie Norton. Yeah.
But, And then Chloe Lang, who was in Haley's film. So we all still like collaborate a lot. And I definitely remember the red carpet because it was like just all these.
Everyone was there.
Yeah, everyone was there.
And, yeah.
It was nice.
I think it's really cool. It's extremely fulfilling for me to know that that's something I preach, which is that the festival creates lasting relationships and lifelong connections. That's language that we actively use. And I don't know, maybe some people hear that and think, oh yeah, sure it does. But this is actual living proof.
That it does.
And that's awesome. So all of that said, again, that's just, it's really cool that not only you connected and obviously, you know, had things in common, but that you continue the relationship in a productive way. How did that sort of transpire? So you met at the festival, you exchange emails, whatever, social, and then what's the process from that all the way through submitting, you know, an award-winning film?
So we, at this point, we had each other's contacts. The festival was over. I guess we each invited each other to like go on. Charlie Norton invited us on his set. And so then we were both there working as PAs. So then we got to know each other even more. And then Brendan would always invite me to like on shoots also. And then I guess it was just back and forth. And then I think Zoom dating was like the real deal where we were all like really collaborating. And then after that, I don't know, we just became like, I think honestly, we became really good friends too, which helped with it. But film was sort of this thing that like tied all of us together.
So whose idea was, let's just get right into Zoom dating. Yeah, and I have a ton of other questions and want to know about everything you've done since. Whose idea was Zoom dating?
Brendan's, I believe.
This guy?
Well, what happened was we all went on a Zoom and it was Charlie, Haley, Jack Bernald, who was also at All American. And then we all just kind of sat down and pitched ideas. And I guess Zoom dating just kind of came about. And
Did you work together on it in person or was this like in the thick of lockdown?
This is lockdown.
Yeah, it was. So like I also was running another festival called Screaming Ostrich at the time. And a lot of films we were getting in were actually shot on Zoom. And it was kind of like the quality was kind of like, but we really wanted to kind of give a different perspective on it. And we ended up shooting it on Zoom and on our respective phones. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, it really works. And the quality's, you know, pretty consistent considering the circumstances. And I think that really helped elevate the film, you know, for our judges. It's funny because we too received a lot of films that were Zoom themed or based on Zoom, you know, it'd be like a teacher in a class and a comedy concept or some, you know, someone on the Zoom who's in the class gets taken out in like horror style. And everyone's like, I can't believe that just happened right here on the actual call kind of thing. And they were really entertaining. And I was definitely inspired at the time by how our community was finding a way to be creative based on the circumstances. And you guys are obviously, you know, part of that conversation. I mentioned in the intro that it is obviously a comedy. It's not meant to be taken too seriously. And that is where it gets its energy and appeal. Did you intend on sort of the other side of things though, to sort of reveal something about the fragility of the teen experience, especially during this very vulnerable time?
You know, it didn't come to mind when filming. Well, it was more like, all right, we didn't know it was going to be this funny, if that makes sense. But as we were filming, it was just like, sometimes like we couldn't even like get through takes. We were just like, this is so ridiculous. But it was so, it's so real at the same time. Like people are actually like doing this stuff, which became just like appalling in some ways. But it was just fun. It was just more fun to do. But to answer your question, we didn't completely intend on the reverse, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think, do you want to say something, Brennan?
No, I was, So like when I had a few of my friends actually act in it, and I just outright told them, I said, look, I didn't tell them we were making a comedy. So I just was like, you know, hey man, we're making a documentary and we want your answers. My one friend, like,
he thought he was one kid actually thought he was going on a date with me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did. And it was absolutely hysterical because
get out! Get out, Mom! I'm talking with a girl! Get out! Get out! Sorry about that. Just next question.
His answers were so off the wall and just like crazy. We all had to like mute ourselves because we were just like crying and like it was insane. Yeah.
We were too. And as you can imagine, during that crazy year when the submissions were coming in, we needed them just as much as you needed to tell these stories to sort of survive this thing. But it's really interesting for anyone who's listening and watches this film. I did have some reservations about, you know, even talking about it on the podcast, because look, we represent an academic community, a high school community, and we are, you know, we don't censor our creators, but we have to be a little bit careful with our image. And I think a less astute person might just watch this film and say, oh, this is just inappropriate. This is just like, you know, people just being silly and exploitative. And I really saw it differently the more I watched it and the more I thought about it. And I really see it as a commentary on what it's like to be a young person growing up, not only in the digital age and all of the dangers and things that come with that, but also combining that with the pandemic and that just sort of elevating all of that. And, you know, I watched my own two kids go through it, and it was, you know, I remember like listening to my son have gym class in his bedroom, and I'm like working on the festival in my office, and he's like running in place in his bedroom, and the gym teacher's like, you know, get after a kid. And yeah. Like, it was just so surreal. So I don't know. I hope that, you know, us being able to recognize something else in the film beyond the comedy, is meaningful to you, because I think it does go far beyond that. And anyone listening, you know, be cautioned, but please check out this film if you're up for it, because it is truly funny, and truly a special time capsule. So moving past that, I guess that feels like a long time ago now, making that film.
It does.
It's only really been a couple of years, but a couple of years, you know, at your age, there's a lot that happens. So what are you both up to since graduating high school? I don't know. I want to talk about this film festival you started, you know, what college is like, what other things you're working on. Feel free to start wherever it makes sense.
Oh, goodness. After graduation, well, school, which was interesting because we were going in like right. Well, Brendan started a little later, but I was going into college right during the pandemic. So I think like trying to manage that, like making friends, like this whole new environment, New York City, that was great. Just like classes. In February of 2021 is when Brendan and I decided to do Open Gate International Film Festival. So we've been very busy with that.
Tell me about it. Tell me about this. Tell me about Open Gate International Film Festival. Why you decided to start it, and you know if there's a particular focus for the festival, or maybe a particular goal.
Yeah. Well, not gonna lie, All American High School Film Festival inspired a lot of it. We talk about a lot in our mission statements how we met at All American, and we think that that's a huge part of what collaboration is all about, meeting people with similar interests, making friends. So that was basically like why we wanted to do it. Like we like film festivals. Brendan and I go to a lot of film festivals also. We just love how it brings people together. So that was definitely a big part of it. It's been running for 2 years. We're going into our third season. Right now we're sponsored by Inktip, Final Draft, and Gravitas Ventures. It's been good. Definitely learn. We're learning a lot each time we go.
I love the name Open Gate. It seems very on point. It feels very inviting. And I'm sure that decision for that name didn't come easily. So, kudos on picking a good one. Does it take place in person? Or it, tell us about it. Our community is probably part of your target audience. So please feel free to do a little endorsing.
So it takes place in New England. So our past two seasons were at the West Newton Cinema in West Newton, Massachusetts. And so every year it's like always up for it. Like we always look for new, we're looking into new theaters, but it's mostly around the New England area because there is a huge film community that in New England that does not get enough credit. And you see all these big movies, especially with the tax incentive a couple of years ago, you see all these big budget movies being made in Boston. There's a whole network of people in that area. So just a film festival that acknowledges them too, as well as bringing international films in there as well.
But is it all ages or is it focused on young people?
All ages. Yeah. All ages, films from everywhere. We also run a screenplay competition too, as well.
And how would folks go about submitting if they were interested in doing so?
Right on Film Freeway.
Right on Film Freeway. Open Gate International Film Festival. And when is your deadline this year and when is the festival this year?
The festival is always November 11th through 13th. It's the long weekend. And then, or 10th to the 12th. It's always like in that range.
Got it.
And then our last deadline, I believe, goes until the summer for this year, the end of the summer.
Awesome. Well, I'm so proud of you both for if anyone knows, I know how much work it is to run a film festival and to keep at it as the sort of more tedious side of things is ongoing. Beyond bringing people together, do you have any other goals for where this festival is going to go?
Acknowledging a lot of just international films as well was like a big thing, like international, like look at all of the cool work that's being done outside of the country. Brendan, do you have anything to say?
Yeah. Like we definitely want to, because as Haley said, we have a pretty big film community in Massachusetts. So kind of bringing people who are just starting out in film and pairing them up with people who have a career in film, that really means a lot because a lot of these people can find employment based off these connections. And it's always nice to see that. Also helping in the future, down the line, helping people bring their vision to life is another important element of Open Gate.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I think that is really important. And I think that will really resonate with our audience listening here. Any opportunities to have mentorship or like you said, just practical connections to find work, whether as a PA or you know, something more extensive, you got to keep at it and you need those kind of connections. And if your festival is fostering that, then that's amazing. I would love to be involved. So keep me in mind. Sure. We don't have to get into all of that right now, but perhaps maybe a sort of some sort of collaboration for this year. I will just be catching my breath after our festival at that point, but maybe that would be a good thing. Maybe this would be really nice to just be a part of someone else's and not be running my own.
Congratulations
on that. Again, I know how much work it is. For the international community, is that just organic through Film Freeway because you're an option there? Or do you have other methods for outreach to try to find folks outside of the US to submit?
As of right now, it's mostly through Film Freeway and word of mouth. But for this season, especially because we have to work on everything each year, pick a different thing to work on. Marketing is like a big thing for us that we need to right
trying to beef that up. Yeah.
Correct.
I can't even imagine what it's like trying to organize a festival and do all of those things while attending school and while pursuing your other, your acting gigs. Let's go back to the film school thing for a minute. So Brendan, you mentioned that you're at Hofstra and you're studying business. Can you tell me about why you decided that, college was right for you and why you decided to study business?
Yeah, so I'm a marketing major and I'm going to minor in film. So I'm going to have both of those two things going on. But so really for marketing, just in general, I feel like it's essential that everyone needs to learn how to market themselves in any occupation. So whether you're a filmmaker or an actor, a composer, if you want to work, you have to get your name out there and market yourself. So I just felt like kind of learning those marketing tactics is just really pivotal to, it's essential to being whatever occupation I decide.
Yeah, to anything. That's really sound advice. And I haven't heard that on the show before from people who are involved in the industry. But we are all constantly marketing ourselves. And if we're not marketing ourselves, we're marketing, you know, an aspect of ourselves through whatever it is that we're pursuing. And whether you run a film festival or, you know, a gas station or, you know, whatever, you absolutely need to be able to promote that thing and to figure out what makes it stand out, what makes it unique, why people would want to invest in that. So that makes perfect sense. And minoring on film in film, you know, keeps you involved and perhaps leads to opportunities. I know a lot of people that take that path one way or the other, you know, majoring in one and minoring in the other. And I think it's a terrific way to really get the most out of the college experience. Is there a particular reason that you ended up at Hofstra?
I liked that it was close to New York. I had a few friends who were like previously enrolled. So Charlie Norton actually goes there. And then a few other people I know in the film department. Plus the facilities are amazing. Like, I don't know if you checked out their editing suite.
I did. I checked the whole thing out and I kept saying like, this is unbelievable. Yeah. You know, you really have wonderful facilities here. And again, with the, you know, proximity to New York, I just had no idea something like that existed on Long Island by the beach.
Yeah.
How often do you and Haley get together like socially now that you're in the same neck of the woods?
Oh God, before break, to be honest, like once a week, maybe more, right, Brendan? You're around here quite a bit. Yeah. Brendan always took the trip. Huh?
Yeah.
Around there.
Yeah.
Like once a week or so.
That's very cool. I'm so glad that you were able to connect at the festival and that this has, you know, resulted in a real relationship. So what about you, Haley? Why did you decide to go to NYU? Why was college and NYU the right place?
Oh God. Okay. So I said either NYU or no college. I talked about this earlier, but I fell in love with method acting in high school, Meisner specifically. And NYU is the only place that I felt I loved the city, but NYU offered the whole Meisner training conservatory style for 2 years with the gen eds education that I could also get, like, so I could get a full-on education.
What is that for people who don't know?
So it's basically 9 to 5. You're in classes 3 times a week at NYU and you're just training. It's just acting for 3 days a week. And then for 2 days out of the 5-day week, we do our gen eds. But basically NYU was incredible because you can focus on a specific method acting 3 days a week, all day long. And that to me was so like, this is unbelievable. So yeah. And also they allow a transfer track into another method after 2 years. And I love acting so much that's what I saw myself doing.
Do you have I like to ask this question for people who are in school, because, you know, people who are listening to the show are probably younger, or teachers who are, you know, maybe wanting to inform their students of what the actual experience will be like. Do you have a particular, in your case, maybe exercise or assignment or something that really stands out as epitomizing what you love about school? I get the sense, I sense your passion. You love New York, you love school, you love what you're studying. Is there something like a cool thing that you've done that really stands out?
Yeah. The thing I tell everyone, I tell my parents, they still don't comprehend it. The 5 minutes in reality is an acting exercise that you can do right before you're about to either go on stage or like right before you're about to film something. You take 5 minutes for yourself. And you put yourself in a situation that you're not familiar with for 5 minutes. And most people are like, oh, that's hard. You're tricking your brain into like thinking about this thing for 5 minutes. But when you watch it, like sometimes when you act, you like don't see it as much, but watching others, it's absolutely incredible what people can convince themselves of in 5 minutes. And then you see that in their performance and you're like, oh my God, just like the human brain is so cool. And the fact that people will do that for the craft, like fully like break their own heart for the sake of like a play or a film. That's so cool. That's just so cool. And so I think you get a lot of that in acting school.
Wow. And Brandon, what about you? Is there a particular like class or assignment or, you know, experience at Hofstra that really stands out?
Just like having a group of people that you can kind of rely on, for lack of a better word, to like help you out with whatever project you might have in mind. I'm actually making what started out as a short film. We did the budgeting and it would just work better as a feature because it would cost the same amount of money. And we're all just kind of like bringing that to life right now. So, I can really rely on the group of people at Hofstra in their communications department, a small little group.
I hear that. Yeah, I hear that a lot, that a huge part of the college experience is the people that you meet and the community that you build. So that makes perfect sense. So what is it that you both, I get the sense that you both consider yourself actors first, maybe, and filmmakers second. Is that fair? I know there's probably it's not that simple. Haley, you've kind of spoken to it a little bit, but Brendan, what is it that brought you to acting and what is it that you love about it?
Yeah, I've been acting since I was like six. Like it's been a while. What really brought me to acting was being able to express myself and kind of see the world from different perspectives. Because when you're playing a character, you really want to embody all of the character's emotions and really just let it take over. You're almost like a vessel for the character to just explode in. Just kind of seeing the world from different perspectives, expressing myself, and I don't know. I just love acting. It's something I've always loved. And when you're an actor on a set, you can see so many different facets of production that
What did making Zoom Dating, for example? I know you've made other things, but that's what I'm most familiar with. What did you learn about being an actor by creating your own film? Either one of you.
Yeah. It always goes hand in hand. I think when you're watching your own director sometimes, and you're watching, you're like, oh, sometimes actually it can be worse because you're looking for results in your acting, which kind of was something I had to like fiddle with for the past few years. Like when I would watch something back, I'm like, oh, that didn't work. But in reality, you're supposed to just be like, when you're in the moment, it's like whatever you feel, you're supposed to be focusing more on like what you feel, and you're not supposed to be working on the end product. So that's sometimes tricky. But I think being your own director is just helpful also, because you can see it from another perspective.
It's a really good segue to a question that I thought of earlier when we were talking. A lot of the folks that are listening are filmmakers and not actors. And obviously one of the big challenges of being a director is working with actors and getting the most out of your actors. What kinds of directors, from your experience, both of you, do you like working with and why?
Brendan, if you want to go first, I have an answer, but I feel like I'm talking a lot.
I have kind of like a term for it. I call them actor directors. And it's a lot of directors who are actors generally know how to kind of dig into that emotional state that an actor's in when they're filming, because they understand the mindset. I've worked with a lot of directors who just like, they're so focused on visuals that there's like no mind put towards the actors. So really understanding acting as a director, I think, is really important.
Yeah, my answer would be directors who understand actors, hands down. In other words, those directors who only look for results and don't understand like how to get there, it's like you're not there for the right reasons if you're only looking for results. I think that's what I was trying to say in the last question. But yeah, just the director that really like personalizes things for you. So you're all experiencing it.
Makes perfect sense. I mean, that sounds like someone I would want to work for as well. That understands the whole picture, but knows how to work on each individual piece of the process. When did you make your first film, Haley?
15. I was 15 years old. I remember that.
What about you, Brennan?
Yeah. I made my first semi-feature film around like 9. Wow. Yeah.
It's amazing how young it goes now.
Yeah.
Look, I'll be real. It was like a 45-minute film I shot with my friends over the course of a year. And I edited it together and I'm like, yeah, this is amazing. And then looking back, I'm like, oh, you know, but yeah, no, that was like the first effort. I mean, I started like filming my like Thomas the Tank Engine set when I was like 2, but I wouldn't really consider that like a film.
Well, you were directing even then. And who knows, maybe, you know, there was a raw aspect to it, that made it even more special. And so if you both go back a ways, why are you still doing it now? What is it about telling visual stories on a screen? What is it about it that you enjoy? Or maybe that you can't quit?
Yeah. I think if I was to look at my life like as a big timeline, it was like finding the fun in it when I was younger. But then growing up with it, I think it just helped me grow up, get through things. Like philosophically, like I always go back to that because that's a big part of like why I love acting. I love the philosophy behind it, but it just helps you get through things like using film as like, oh, I'm going through this. Let's make a film about it. Let's make it productive. Let's do this thing. But then that reaching someone else is also beautiful. And then especially just like watching movies, like how that hits. I just think the whole craft is just so, like, I think society needs film.
It's a good answer. And it really does tie into, you know, the Zoom dating and what that film represents from a story standpoint. Anything to add, Brendan?
The question was, sorry, what was it?
Why can't you quit this thing? Why, you started filming when you were 2 years old and you're still at it now. You know, there must be something that you really love about it.
Yeah. So I feel like when you're making films, like you're telling, let's say when you go watch a film, you kind of want to see the world from a different perspective and experience things that you might not experience in reality. So I feel like when you can really capture, genuinely capture other emotions and experiences through a lens, I feel like that's very impactful and just really telling compelling stories that stick with people makes me keep wanting to do, like, keep making films.
Yeah, and you're talking about experiencing other worlds, and
yeah.
I get the sense you're not talking about the Marvel universe.
No. I mean, perfect example. I just saw the movie After Sun, and that was truly one of the most like amazing films I've seen in the past year. So, and you really I really felt like I escaped reality and experienced the world through these two characters' perspectives. And it really opens you up and gives you a different outlook on your life.
I don't know. I don't think I know After Sun. Where can one find this film?
I saw like the last Showtime with a friend at a theater. It was like insane. So I'd never heard of it. And I'm like, you know, I'll check it out. Like, why not? And it's an A24 film. And it's just like, I think you can find it online now. I'm sure it's online somewhere.
I'll poke around a little bit. It's funny you mentioned a film in that regard. I just yesterday actually just watched RRR, the Indian film. Yeah. It's like an epic. I highly recommend it. Talk about walking you into a new world that is full of uniqueness and alternate perspective and experience. It is absolutely worth a 3-hour investment. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it, which is saying something in today's, you know, oversaturated cinematic universe. So you mentioned a film that you really like. You mentioned A24, shocker that one of their films was amazing and inspiring. Who are your influences? Either, you know, actors who, you know, you admire, or directors?
So many. I think director Jim Cummings, right off the bat, multi-hyphenate director. He's brilliant. He's so cool. For actors, I'm obsessed with like the most random, like wave of direct, actors. I love Vince Vaughn. He's so cool. I love Owen Wilson. I love their comedy to death. You know, who doesn't get enough credit, who I love to death? Allison Janney. She's great in everything. Johnny Depp is cool. Yeah. I think those are mine off the top of my head.
Is there is comedy your preferred genre, or am I just assuming that?
You know, I think so. I think so. I like to watch comedy the most, but then I'll write a dramatic, like I'll try to write something dramatic, and then it's like funny to other people. So I'm like, okay, that's like, if that is comedy, maybe that's just, I don't know.
Maybe that's just who you are. Even when you are trying or thinking you're being dramatic, you actually are looking through a humorous lens.
I guess. Even like in class, sometimes I'll be crying and people will laugh. I'm like, okay, all right. That's great.
Oh, that's really interesting. So I don't know if we lost Brendan, but to continue the conversation, what's next?
I want to produce, my goal for 2023 is to produce 2 films. That's most definitely my goal. I have a short film that I really, really want to do about sleep paralysis, and then a comedy also, and then auditioning. I have other goals for 2023, like book a speaking role in like on a show, or which there's so much content right now. So there's no excuses for that not to happen. So just to keep acting, do as many projects as possible for right now. Yeah.
You certainly approach the whole thing with an enthusiasm and positivity that if I was listening to this and I was casting a project, I'd be like, you know what, let's keep Haley in mind, you know, for the, so, you know, who knows, maybe this will lead to some potential gigs. Brendan, I'm glad you're back. Thank you for working through the technology to rejoin us. I was just asking Haley, you know, who her influences were, who she admires in the acting world. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I heard Haley's answer. Jim Cummings. Jim Cummings is like such a multi-hyphenate being. He acts, directs, produces films, and he does it on such a low budget that like just watching that is very inspiring and really keeps me going in this industry.
What's next for you?
Next? Okay. So hopefully I book one of the auditions that I'm currently filming. I got 2 callbacks, so we'll see what happens. And
you said currently filming. Does that mean that you don't actually have those auditions in person?
No, I'm doing it in this like acting setup, this self-tape setup right now. After this, but I'm meeting with an agent in like an hour, and then I have like a feature film that is currently in the works.
Well, I'm sending you good vibes from the entire All American community for the agent conversation and the auditions, and obviously you too, Haley. Before we wrap up, I just have a few more questions. One is, what's your favorite part of this whole thing, and what's the part that is the most, that is the hardest?
The whole industry.
Yeah, just like what you're doing. I mean, it sounds like mostly acting, mm-hmm. but you know, whether you're making a project or performing in it, what's your favorite part and what's the biggest challenge?
Favorite part, hands down, human connection, whether that's on screen, like when you're actually in it, or human connection when you're collaborating. I think that's all a huge part of why I stay doing this.
That's why I love this podcast. I actually get to talk to people, right? Besides sitting behind a computer planning and stuff. Yeah, it's great.
Exactly. And then the hardest part, I think, just for the industry as a whole, managing, I think it's like, you have to be in the right place at the right time for certain things. I think trying to get yourself out there, like, oh, like here I am. Like, I'm also trying to be an actor with all these other people, like very talented people. I think navigating that for yourself is the hard, that's the hardest part for me personally.
How about you, Brendan?
The hardest part is definitely for me. I think juggling school is something that everyone can relate to, who's listening to this podcast. But finding a balance between school, film, started modeling. So that's kind of like, that takes up a lot of time too. Finding a balance in life, you know.
But that also, because my next, you guys are really good with the segues. You're leading me from question to question. Would that also be your advice for anyone who's listening? I mean, you know, in a sense, you're speaking to a younger version of yourself a few years back. You know, is that something that you wish you knew then that you know now? Or is there something else that is particularly important for our community of listeners to know?
Advice I would give to anyone is just say yes to everything. Make so many friends. You never know what's going to come of anything. So literally just say yes to everything. If you want to do it, do it. Like, do whatever, I think.
Sometimes I tell myself to think less and just do.
Oh, most definitely. That's a good one too. Thinking,
I mean, obviously
is bad.
The thinking comes into it at some point, but when I overthink, I hesitate. And, you know, when I just jump into things, not to say that I do it, you know, without being aware of what I'm doing, but I just, if something comes up, just don't worry about how hard it's going to be. Don't worry about the fact that you might fail. Don't worry about anything like that. Just do it. And if you're passionate, if you want it, you're going to be okay. You know,
exactly.
And it's going to lead to something else. Good advice. So, I'd love to leave our listeners with some recommendations from you both. This can be anything. It can be a film that you think people should check out, a show. It can be a piece of music, you know, a new release of any kind. Haley, you said you've been reading a lot. You know, it can be anything like that. What should people check out?
Oh,
and
cool.
I like this too, personally. This is a little selfish because I always go check out the things that our guests
Me too.
Recommend.
Me too. I have a whole book right over there of like when I see a cool piece of artwork or like a movie, I write it down, but I don't have that with me right now. But off the top of my head, Requiem for a Dream, Little Miss Sunshine, Napoleon Dynamite, The Way, Way Back, a brilliant, brilliant indie film. I'm reading Jordan Peterson right now, 12 Rules for Life. Hands down, one of the best books I've read so far, and I'm only on page 40. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions. Daring Greatly is another great book about taking risks. Anything by Uta Hagen is really great. I'm looking right over at my bookshelf right now. I think those are my recommendations for now. Brendan can.
That's a healthy list. Yeah. I have a few that I am unaware of there. So thank you. What about you, Brendan?
Yeah, like Haley said, anything by Uta Hagen. There was this book about arrows that Haley wanted me to read, and I read like the first page. It was way beyond my comprehension. So, but no, definitely After Sun. That was a great movie. For low budget filmmaking, I just saw this movie called Skinamarink, and that it was in theaters, and that was only made for $15,000. Oh, another movie. Okay, I saw this movie called The Dirties. And it's a low budget film that came out 70, no, I don't know, like around that time, 7 years ago, 9 years ago, who knows? And it was really cool because it was only made for $10,000. And you can really look at those low budget films and take away a lot of cool tricks and tips based off of their storytelling methods.
Absolutely. I'm inspired by that every year with the films that come into us, and they seem to get better every year, more accomplished, more unique. Just when you think they can't be, you get Zoom dating. So I just want to say thank you so much, Haley and Brendan, for an insightful glimpse into your experiences and motivations as storytellers and performers. I encourage all of you to check out Zoom Dating and the other links that are provided in the description. And of course, thanks to all of you for tuning in and joining us. I remind you that this is just one of many in-depth conversations with the future of film. You can go to hsfilmfest.com for more information on the All-American High School Film Festival. And please, please be sure to subscribe and share across all platforms to support our talented community of emerging artists, just like Haley and Brendan. Haley, Brendan, thanks so much. This was a real pleasure.
Thank you.
This is great.
Best of luck, break legs, all of that good stuff on everything that you're up to. I have no doubt that I will be hearing wonderful things about you. I hope we can keep in touch. And thanks for keeping the All-American community alive and collaborating. I found that a particularly inspiring piece of this conversation. Best to both of you.
Thank you.